Hey, welcome back to episode 6 of Off the Board, CalvinAir.com Sports and Sports Betting Podcast. This week, we're going to talk to Joey Odessa. The guy's the premier odds maker for boxing, mixed martial arts. He knows the fight game inside and out. So we're going to take the opportunity to talk to him about the upcoming UFC card in Rio. You know, let's get some viewer mail right away. All right, guys, time for viewer mail. If you want to write the show, email us at offtheboard@calvinair.com. Remember to subscribe to us on iTunes. You can search Off the Board, search Bill Beattie. Subscribe, give us 5 stars. We'd really appreciate it. It really helps us out. This is from ML. No other podcast like it. Lost my exclamation marks here. The very best. Bill Beattie certainly knows his stuff, and great guest too. I like compliments, but you don't always have to give compliments, but if you give us 5 stars, I'll read it. All right, thanks. This one's not really mail, but a friend of mine in town, he's been watching the show, he likes the show. Got us our first viewer gift. He was in Hong Kong, saw a Pride FC t-shirt, thought I'd like it. I do like it a lot, so it's fitting considering we have Joey Odessa on, the MMA odds maker. So I don't think we get into Pride, but we'll talk a lot of UFC. So let's check out some YouTube videos. All right, we got a few YouTube videos here. The first one, it's a short one. Kid scores a touchdown. He's pretty excited. Tries to have a little bit of fun. Let's have a look.
Takes on special teams.
All right, kid scores a touchdown.
But Nathan Shieldhouse, he was looking for a high five from the official when he scored the touchdown earlier.
All right, it's like Borat. Like, high five, high five. All right, next one is Michael Phelps. Kid's an amazing athlete. He won 18 medals at the Olympics. Most people don't even win one. So. He's out on the golf course. He's playing in Scotland. He's got. Have a look.
Sometimes just to keep up with what's happening there.
On sixth hole, 153 feet.
King's Parks.
It goes. Takes like 17 seconds to even get there. Pop. Heck of a putt, heck of an athlete, getting it done.
It just shows you how anyone can enjoy this game. He's only just started. He's been coached by Hank Haney. And yesterday he struggled. Lynx golf, playing for the first time. 24 handicap.
All right, this was my favorite clip of the week. I'm sure a lot of you have already seen it. It's Liam Neeson doing a bit of a promo for Taken 2. They get him on SportsCenter. They ask him about American football. Being from Europe, he's probably a little more familiar with the other football. Let's have a watch.
Taken 2 and the star of that movie, Oscar-nominated actor and sports fan, Liam Neeson, is here with us on SportsCenter. Let's start off talking about some sports. You live in New York. You're a New York fan. But you were at the Jets debacle on Sunday against the Niners. Can you even act like the Jets are good this year?
Okay, we better start again, can I? Are we live?
You're live.
Okay, I'll be very honest with you, Mike. It's only the second football game I've ever been at in my life. I still don't understand the rules. But on Sunday, yes, I know the Jets got trounced, but it was great to just celebrate great athleticism in front of 82,000 people.
Yeah, the Niners showed most of that athleticism out there. Speaking of athleticism, they brought in Tim Tebow, a very athletic player. This gets criticized a lot for his quarterback skills, but should Rex Ryan, in your opinion, make that move to Tim Tebow?
You see, you're speaking ancient Arabic to me, buddy. I swear to you.
Really?
I just don't understand the game yet, Mike. I'm so
sorry. Oh, my God. That was... I'm going to watch that clip over and over and over. Actually, if you're on YouTube, check out Ricky Gervais, Liam Neeson. They have this 5-minute, it's from a show in the UK. Liam Neeson tries to be funny. Not funny, but his lack of funny, it's hilarious. But maybe we'll put that clip up on the addendum. So, as I mentioned off the top of the show, we're talking to Joey Odessa. I did a written interview with him last month. It was really solid piece. He's an entertaining guy. He's going to stick around. He's going to tell us a story one night in Costa Rica. I hear it's a good story. We'll see what he has to say. Hey, Joey, how are you today?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing real well, real well. UFC 153 is coming up. It looked like it was one of those cards that was about to fall apart, but a couple guys stepped up and I guess saved it, and namely Anderson Silva. He's taking on Stephen Bonner. Have you had any thoughts on that fight so far? Or?
You know, Bonner's a company guy. I mean, he should step up. He's getting, I'm sure he's getting paid pretty good for it. And, he's got, he rattled off 3 wins in a row. So, I mean, he's not, it's a non-title bout, obviously, with Silva moving up. I'd be really shocked if Bonner found a way to win the fight. But I've seen stranger things happen. It wouldn't be the biggest upset in MMA, but Anderson Silva's a 10-1 favorite for a reason.
It's and then you talk about that sort of upset. He's looking at the story behind it. You know, he's in Bonner's in semi-retirement, hasn't had a fight of this magnitude. I'd almost consider it like a Rockies type story where he's taking on the champ out of pure luck, really. So
yeah, I think they want to really push it as that, but you know, when you really look at the fight, he's coming out of retirement. I mean, I wouldn't really view it as the biggest upset of all time, because little preparation, last minute. I mean, if by some act of God Stephon Bonner wins his fight in Brazil, no less, I think it would be pretty tough to call it the biggest. Well, you know, the venue would contribute to maybe the biggest MMA upset, but we watched George St. Pierre get beat by Matt Serra when both guys were prepared. So, you know, when two guys go in there, you know, completely ready, you know, not on short notice, and the guy gets beat, you know, there really aren't, you know, too many excuses out there. So, I would consider that the biggest upset probably year to date, but this would be right up there with it.
As a Canadian, that GSP loss to that was a tough one to deal with. So,
but that line opened about 8-1 and closed about 14-1 on George St. Pierre. Nobody gave Matt Serra a shot, except Matt Serra.
And then that's all he needed. Pop. Who else do you like on that card? I guess the one guy that sort of stands out is, for me anyways, Glover Teixeira. Supposed to fight Rampage. Rampage got hurt. I don't know if he. And then they offered the fight to Rashad, and Rashad said, no way, not on short notice. And so now he's fighting Fabio Maldonado.
To Kyle Kingsbury, who lost to. You know, if you go by the MMA math, Teixeira, I guess that's how you say his name, is supposed to mop him up. I mean, they're both from Brazil, but nobody wants to fight Teixeira right now. Especially on short notice.
Oh, no, so I was saying, with a guy like Teixeira, as an organizer, what do you do with him? You know you got a talent, but again, none of your top guys want to be that proving ground for him. So.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, he hasn't been out of the first round for, his last 4 fights. He just smashed people. It's going to be interesting. He definitely finished his fights, and, Maldonado, I don't see Maldonado putting up too much of a challenge for him, but I think once Teixeira gets in there with some wrestlers, I mean, we got to see him mix it up a little bit. He beat Rico Rodriguez. He beat, guys like Marvin Eastman and, in the past. But, he does have, he's got some losses on his record. He's been beat. And, it just shows anybody can be beat. And a lot of these guys, they pump them up, and then they go out there and they just, they look horrible.
Yeah. You mentioned good wrestlers, and actually one of my favorite, John Finch. John Fitch is fighting Eric Silva. Have you had a chance to look at that fight? I was actually surprised.
For sure.
Finch is a small dog here.
Yeah, it's one of those fights where you have the young guy against the older guy. I mean, you got an explosive guy like Eric Silva who went out and, he was a favorite over Charlie Brennerman, about a 2-1 favorite. And prior to that, he fought Carlo Prater. But I think, if I recall off the top of my head, that's the kid he needed in the head and got the disqualification win, who just lost this past week. In the UFC, Prater did. He lost to Lavoisier, I think his name is, Minnesota wrestler, controversial kind of decision. But now this is a fight, I tell you, it's a very tough venue for Fitch. I mean, and a lot's going to depend on the referees, a lot's going to depend on, obviously the judges, but the referee, I mean, if Fitch is on top and, he's not improving his position, these referees might not let the weigh-in parade take place down there. I saw some fast stand-ups in the last UFC. It seems to be more of a trend to keep things going and more exciting.
And then we got Phil Davis and Wagner Prado.
Yeah, All-American wrestler. I mean, everybody knows I'm a little partial to the wrestlers, but, you know, it's odd because the first time these guys fought, Davis was a solid 6-1 favorite, and there probably wasn't a parlay out there that didn't have minute, and everybody, when he got poked in the eye, was disappointed because they thought they had the better, they thought they had a great price. And now, you know, right now, the time that we're talking here, it's about a 3-1 favorite, 3.5-1 favorite. Again, another bout that I think the favorite gets there. We saw this a couple weeks ago in Great Britain. People said, well, you know, the value's in the dog. All those guys were favored, and granted, they were overpriced, but if you went and you jumped on all those underdogs, you know, the over there, you'd go belly up.
That's another thing. I guess when you're taking these bets, how many guys are just looking for that underdog value?
Well, that's the big thing. I mean, I always split hairs with, you know, because I'm real, real old school. I mean, I'm in my 40s, and I do everything pencil and paper, and I have a lot of, you know, I split hairs with a lot of guys about the word value, and I always say the word value, when I talk to somebody and somebody says, hey, value, I kind of equate value as a loser term, because when a guy wins a bet, he doesn't come to you. Now, believe me, I admit I'm the worst poker player there ever was. I mean, I have dead giveaway, you know, too much gamble in me. I mean, you name it, I've got the tragic four. I mean, I'm the dope at the table, so I'm smart enough to know I'm not supposed to play poker. But anyway, the word value that a lot of these poker guys and a lot of people use all the time with MMA, you know, I always hear guys say, you know, when Matt Serra beat George St. Pierre, he didn't say, hey, you know, everybody didn't run out of the bar and say, hey, I just won a value bet. They all ran out of the bar and said, hey, I just, you know, I bet Serra, I knew he was going to do it, and so on and so forth. You never hear a guy say, I lost a value bet.
Right.
I mean, I won a value bet. You always hear him say, I lost a value bet. You know, I lost it, but it had value. We had the better of it. No, you didn't. You lost it.
It's an excuse.
You know, Manny Pacquiao, you being, overseas, you know how big of a phenomenon he is. I mean, I fell into a trap there myself where, you know, guys were saying, hey, the value's in Bradley. Well, the value wasn't Bradley that night, and I guess there's value there, but, I mean, if you'd been betting value against Manny Pacquiao year to date, you'd be getting smoked.
Fair enough.
And,
you mentioned
the word value with, but
no, you brought up Manny Pacquiao there. He's fighting Marquez again for the fourth time. Were you surprised by that over a rematch with Bradley or trying to get the super fight done with Floyd?
You know, these guys, they're making so much. I mean, how much money is enough money?
Right.
They're making so much money that, I would fight Manny Pacquiao. I'd do all kinds of things to Manny Pacquiao if the price was right. You know, on pay-per-view, no less. I mean, you know, they talk about urine tests on the way to the, urine tests at the event. I would take one. I'd take blood tests on the way to the ring for the kind of money that they were offering those guys to fight. And these guys are just grinding it out. I mean, he's going to go out there and, you know, he's supposed to beat Marquez. He's about a 3.5-1 favorite. But, I mean, again, you know, when people asked me the last time they fought, they said, you know, who do you like to win the fight? I said, I think that Marquez will probably win the fight, but Pacquiao will get the decision. And it's another case of live dog that won't win.
Okay, so Pacquiao gets by Marquez. Is the appetite still there for a Floyd fight, especially after the Bradley loss?
You know, no matter what Floyd does, he'll never get the respect he deserves, inside the ring. Floyd's probably, Floyd, I think, is one of the, I think Floyd is the best boxer I've seen in the last 30 years. I really believe that. I think he's the best pure boxer, and I think he's the most functional boxer inside the ring that I've seen in 30 years, and most dysfunctional outside the ring. It's just amazing. The second he steps inside the ropes, when I watch a guy like Floyd box, I mean, people find him boring. I just find it beautiful. I mean, he not only makes guys miss, he not only lands, but he makes guys miss, and then he makes them pay for it. And I mean, he did numbers. I mean, look what he did to Marquez. I mean, he could have stopped him. He got Marquez. I mean, Floyd, I think, has been, he's been letting up a little bit. And even when Ortiz headbutted him, I mean, you never see such composure. If he had that kind of composure outside the ring that he has inside the ring, this guy would be on, he'd be the spokesperson. He'd be a legitimate Tiger Woods with no blemishes, with no problems.
If, like you said, if he can put it together brilliantly, he's a brilliant fighter.
Yeah, he's absolutely brilliant fighter. I mean, he's obviously brilliant at a brilliant marketer too of himself. I mean, look at the money he's making. Floyd, people, get so like caught up in the media, and I don't watch a lot of the preview shows and things like that. I mean, I think they're poison on the brain because, you know, again, I mentioned it, I think, in our interview, our written interview a while back, when they make Hatton and Mayweather look like a pick'em, I mean, the media can do anything to you. They can make you dislike a guy, they can make a guy obsolete, you know, a guy, even, you know, look what happened to Fedor Emelianenko in MMA. I mean, a little, you know, a couple negative, you know, some negative media and stuff, and he just disappeared because he, you know, no one's bigger than the sport.
Yeah, I was going to actually, how often do you find guys betting against a Floyd just because they don't like Floyd?
Oh, all the time. I mean, you'll see that with any fighter, and it's brilliant because, you know, that's what you want. You want guys to bet with emotion. You want guys to bet with, you know, if you're on the bookmaking side of it, even if you're on the player side of it, and you're a whale, you want these guys to come in and, you know, we call them like the squares and gobble up, you know, some of that, you know, sucker money, I guess.
Yeah.
I would call it, you know, square money. You know, as a player, I'm looking for the square guys to jump on board and, you know, wait till the last minute where they drive some of these numbers up. You know, if you're looking to bet a Monday night football game, you know, you probably, and you like under, you probably want to bet it close to post time, you know, because everybody comes out chasing, looking for the over.
Great points. Thank you. Speaking of super fights, let's go back to MMA for a minute. Assuming, you know, Silva, you know, gets by Bonner, he will. But and then GSP's fighting Carlos Condit next UFC, the next numbered UFC. Do you see the GSP Silva fight happening?
You know, I think it's something that the UFC would do. I think it's something that I think Anderson Silva just beats him up badly, especially in a 5-round fight. A lot of people disagree with me on that. I just think that size matters, and Anderson Silva, you know, and I've said it, and it's caught a lot of criticism. I think that, you know, Anderson Silva, when he fights guys, he snatches their hearts. He gets that look, and once he's there, and once he has you, he knows it and he takes it. And I think that he will. I think he'll break George St. Pierre. And I have a lot of really, really, people I really respect that totally disagree with me and think that George will take him down and somehow ground and pound him. And I just don't see that happening. I think Silva's too long. I think that if George, you know, when George does take him down, because he'll probably take him down, I think that Silva can beat him up from the guard with his elbows. He's just so long and he's so good at it that. You know, I see him in trouble. I don't think it's a fight that George St. Pierre should really take unless he's ready to step aside. Why move up and wait and take the loss?
As a big GSP fan, I hate to agree with you, but I think I have to on that one. So, the size does make such a big difference with that.
It's not like these guys, well, I guess guys like George St. Pierre aren't making those huge, huge paydays, but, you know, jumping weight classes, unless it's for, you know, a title shot or something, you know, or looking to, you know, establish a legacy, I don't really, you know, on your way out, I don't see, you know, because he's not going to continue to fight at 205 if he beats Silva. I mean, at 185, rather. Meanwhile, Silva's fighting at 205, and, you know, there's a possibility he'd go up to 205, but not while John Jones is there. And for Jones to go up to heavyweight, I think would be a foolish decision, too. You know, even though Jones could carry it better than most of those guys, you know, being probably about 220, 230 naturally if he bulked up.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question here, because Jones is dominating. Like, is there anybody at light heavyweight that can handle him right now?
Well, I mean, it's a tough fight. I tell you, this guy at light heavyweight, I would say no. At heavy, you know, maybe, I'd like to see King Mo, Mohammed Lowell, fight. I'd like to see him fight John Jones, but, you know, Mo's not, you know, Mo's coming off an injury. Mo's not ready for Jones right now. But Mo with maybe two more fights or another, you know, a good camp and staying healthy is a much, much better wrestler than John Jones. And people will deny that, but, you know, I mean, he's an Olympian. And you'll see the difference. I mean, look at, you know, look at Ronda Rousey. I mean, people just don't get it. They don't understand what it takes to, you know, to be an Olympian for any country in any sport. You know, I wrestled my whole life when I was a kid, and I just, the sacrifice that these Olympians make, especially now with the technology and everything and all the testing they have to go through, I mean, they really are, you know, they're professionals, and they are the best of the best. I mean, you're talking an Olympic wrestler, 8 spots on the entire, 6 or 8, I think there are on the entire Olympic wrestling roster. And, you know, how many people are trying out for that team. Talking Division One, Division Two, Division Three colleges, NAIA, plus independents, plus everybody that graduated. So, like, yeah, I mean, it's a, I would say that more people try out competitively for the United States Olympic wrestling teams through the process than any other individual sport, barring running or something. But, I mean, there's, I mean, I could be a runner and obviously not try out for the Olympics, you know what I mean?
And you're not going to you're gonna be a runner, and chances are you're not going to get into mixed martial arts either, so...
No, I'm just, I'm running tickets to the window. That's it.
Excellent. We're just actually we're just about out of time, Joey. This was a fantastic chat.
It went by fast. I ramble a bit from time to time. I get off topic and lose where I'm at, but
that's not a problem. I'd love to have you back on, and thanks again.
Hey, my pleasure.
Where can people find you on Twitter?
I'm at MMA. Real easy. It's a lot easier than spelling Odessa. People mix up the D's and the S's. Just MMA odds at right. Twitter.
Excellent. Yeah, follow Joey on Twitter. He's really good follow, especially during the fights. He gives his opinions, gives the odds, and funny commentary. So.
Hi, this is Joey Odessa, and this is One Night in Costa Rica. I'll give you a little prelude to this story. Before I left for Costa Rica, which I thought was an island 6 months before I came down here in the 90s, I had made kind of a promise to my mother that I would not gamble, I wouldn't party, I wouldn't race, holy hell, I wouldn't chase women, I wouldn't do all the things that I was doing up north that were getting me jammed up and everything. Now, needless to say, I was down to my last $3,000, and I got off the plane in Costa Rica after a long night, and very first thing I did, it was December 6th, 1999. I went to, I sat in the, well, I got off the airplane, and I said, wow, I thought I was coming to like an island environment. I saw nothing but buildings and barbed wire, and I didn't know anybody, so I figured the best place to go to get a job or to meet somebody would be a casino. That was my own sick, twisted, demented mind, like just drawing me in like a Death Star tractor beam. It was just sucking me in. So I go to the casino, and I end up at another casino where there's a sports book, and it's a Monday night football game on, and I remember the game, and I had a little less, like I said, I had about $3,000 on me. I had eaten, had a little bit less money, and I sat down, and I saw these older guys coming by with all these rock star women. I mean, rock star knockouts. And I'm going, what? You know, how are these guys pulling these women? Where have I been? You know, I used to have a ton of money. And I just, I was kind of sick, and I went and I got a drink. Well, there was the first promise broken. I told my mother I wouldn't drink. I had a couple more, and I'm sitting around, and long and short of it is, before this Monday night football game came up, I looked at the money I had, and I said, I'm not going to last 90 days down here on this before I find a job. So I did the only thing, the only logical thing a person could do. I went up to the counter. I bet the Vikings in the first half. I bet the over in the first half. I remember this because they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I caught the first half, and anyway, I looped my bankroll. So after proceeding to make my $3,000 look like just under six by pure luck and just totally, you know, throwing something at the wall, I wouldn't even be here having this conversation right now, chances are, had I not hit the parlay and the ridiculous stuff that I started doing after I had a few drinks in me. And so I had gambled the first night. I'd had drinks. And obviously, after I started making a little bit of that paper, started realizing that these old men, you know, it didn't take too much to pull some of these women. And you know, the long and short, it was a long night. It was a good night. And, you know, I still ended up making a profit.
All right, that was Joey Odessa with One Night in Costa Rica. Costa Rica's eaten up and spit out a lot of good men. I'm really happy Joey's doing well down there. Now it's time to go to the farm and talk to Rock, see what he's got for this Monday. You've been watching Beat the Cock all season long. We've been on opposite sides, and the cock been kicking my ass. I changed my mind. I was like, okay, I'm not betting the Jets. I'm going to ride the cock. And I'm a jinx. He lost. I lost again. Let's see what we got this week. Okay, Rock, where are you? We got the Broncos and the Chargers.
Chargers are about 3-point favorites. So, Rock, you can't. Yep, screw it. All right, let's. I'll go first. So we got the Broncos, Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, Chargers. Both teams come out on the losing end this past week. Peyton Manning and the Broncos, they lost to New England, a familiar foe. Tom Brady always beats Peyton Manning, so. Phillip Rivers, another familiar foe, lost to Drew Brees, and Drew Brees set the completion record for most consecutive games with a touchdown. But Chargers looked real good. They look good despite obviously losing. I won with them earlier this year. I'm going to win again with them this week. So let's go back to the farm and see if Rock's ready. All right, here he comes. Here he comes. Who do you like? All right, Rock, good luck this week. All right, guys, you know what time it is. We're going to check out the nanny cam and see what my nanny is up to. Welcome back. Thanks for watching Off the Board, CalvinAir.com's sports and sports betting podcast. If you want to write the show, email us at offtheboard@calvinair.com. Follow me on Twitter at Mr. Bill. Subscribe on iTunes. I want to thank Joey Odessa. He's a great guest. Follow him. He's at MMA Odds. He's on Twitter. And have a great rest of your day and may all your bets be winners.